Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Montana Casting Company is a performance fly rod and reel company based right here in our capital, Helena, Montana. Each model of fly rod is a tribute to Montana's rugged beauty and adventurous spirit. Their rods capture the look, feel, and craftsmanship of a custom-built fly rod. Scott personally calls every customer who buys one of his rods. Head to MontanaCastingCo.com and use code MEATEATER20 at checkout for a one-time 20% off discount.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by eight special guests, which also happen to be eight people who have never played Meat Eater Trivia before. Well, I'm sorry, seven people. Plus, we have Clay Newcomb, who has not only played, but he's won.
That's right.
Now, this episode is being recorded at the First Light Hootenanny in the First Light flagship store. So, in honor of being here, I've grabbed eight of my favorite First Light ambassadors to test them in a game of Meat Eater Trivia. Joining me is Sam Soholt, Thomas Crick, Ben Dedamani, Lydia Smith, Tony Peterson, Clay Hayes, Jess Johnson, and Clay Newcomb. Now, we're going to do this since most of you folks are new to the Meat Eater podcast. We're going to go around the room and have you introduce yourself, give a little elevator pitch about what you do.
I'm Thomas Crick. I run Identical Draw with my brother Nate out of Nebraska. We're an outdoor media company, so you can find us on YouTube at Identical Draw.
His brother looks just like him.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm Jess Johnson. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Wyoming Wildlife Federation. I'm the one hunting and angling lobbyist in the state of Wyoming. I'm down in Lander, Wyoming, hunt all over the West, and I'm one of the Artemis Sportswomen co-founders.
Mm.
My name is Ben Dedamonte, otherwise known as Shed Crazy, and I like to pick up horns and party. That's about all I do. You can find me, on YouTube, Instagram under Shed Crazy. I like to have a good time.
My name is Tony Peterson, and I am a full-time Meat Eater employee now who I think most of my job besides writing articles and filming some stuff is to keep the lights on for Mark Kenyon so he can go fish every single day of his life and post pictures of cutthroat trout on Instagram. I think that's my main gig.
I'm Sam Soholt. I am a photographer, videographer in the hunting industry, as well as the co-owner of Public Land Tees. And anybody listening might know me better as a guy who drove a bus around for a couple of years talking about conservation.
Mm. I'm Lydia Smith, and I'm a full-time wildlife artist as well as a hunting guide in the fall. I'm really passionate about archery elk hunting, and kind of that's where I take my passion mostly.
Clay Newcomb, I'm a coon hunter. That's all I do.
Clay Hayes, I'm primarily a YouTube content creator, focusing on traditional archery, traditional bow hunting, and I also happen to win season 8 of Alone.
Right on.
Yeah, a better way to sum up these eight folks is that they're some of my favorite people to follow on Instagram. So you should go give them a follow because it's some of the best hunting content you'll find on that app. Now, Clay Newcomb, you've played trivia before.
Mm-hmm.
What's your advice to these seven newcomers?
You know, I think, man, I really hope Steve and Brody don't listen to this, but the best news that all of us have is Steve and Brody aren't here because they're really good. So, my best advice to you is go with your gut. Usually that first instinct is right. And then try to be as obscure as you possibly can with spelling and specificity, and usually with a little bit of social tact, you can get Spencer to accept the answer and maybe, you know, cover yourself in a mistake that was, you know, you didn't really know, but you kind of just were like, Staganov, you know, and be like,
that's a good read on the game.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. Good. That's my advice.
Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there's a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. Now, in a previous game of trivia, we have some housekeeping to get to. We talked about how to find the star Polaris, which is also known as the North Star. So here's the answer to that question. The North Star is the last star in the handle of the Little Dipper. Or you can find the pointer stars, which are the outer two stars in the bowl of the Big Dipper. These two stars are called the pointers because they point at the star Polaris.
Hmm.
So now you know how to find that.
Hey, Spencer, do you think, like, who in this room is, like, the candidate that you think, the dark horse candidate? Who do you think is going to win?
I think Clay Newcomb.
Well, no, aside from me, like, that's a given. That's a given.
I think this corner over here, the Tony Peterson and
the old guys.
Yeah, are they the old guys?
Ouch. Okay. Isn't Steve's rule that like the oldest guys?
Yeah,
are best
you just got more wisdom. So Tony Peterson, I think would
that's
be.
That's who I was.
That's a lot of pressure.
No
man.
Disrespect to anyone else. Jess is probably pretty tough.
Also on a previous game of trivia, we had a question about what fish produces Smurf meat. The answer was lingcod, but a few folks wrote in to let me know that cabezon and greenling also sometimes have blue flesh. The question, though, was specific to the nickname Smurf meat, which is almost exclusively used to describe lingcod. Now, I understand why there'd be some confusion, and if you did say the cabezon or the greenling, I would accept those answers, but no one in our show did, so it didn't change the outcome of the game. With that, we are on to Meat Eater Trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one. The topic is woodsmanship, and this will be multiple choice. This first great question comes to us from John Schlesinger. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. According to Utah State University, what type of firewood burns the hottest? Is it box elder, mulberry, Osage orange, or white ash? Again, according to Utah State University, what type of firewood burns the hottest? Is it box elder, mulberry, Osage orange, or white ash? We had some quick answers in the room from
that's a good question.
Crick and Clay Hayes. Clay, you were writing before I even gave the choices. You think you know this one?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident.
Very confident. Again, your choices are box elder, mulberry, Osage orange,
or the other thing you can do is you can take cues from people based on anything they say. That's why when you're in the court, they say, you know, like, don't say a word. Don't make eye contact with people. Like, Clay just confirmed.
His confidence gave
his
you the answer.
His confidence confirmed my confidence.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Thomas saying Osage orange. Jess saying ash. Ben saying Osage orange. Tony saying Osage orange. Sam saying box elder. Lydia saying box elder. Clay Newcomb saying Osage orange. Clay Hay saying Osage orange. The correct answer is Osage orange.
That's right.
Yes. Room did pretty well.
On the board, baby.
Osage orange burns 32.9 million BTUs per cord of wood. Unsurprisingly, it's also one of the heaviest types of wood in North America. Other woods that burn nearly as hot as Osage orange include apple, beech, black locust, honey locust, and white oak.
It also makes a fine self bow.
I've had it melt like the metal thing that you put firewood on, like in your in-home fireplace.
Really just,
like,
burn an Osage
it just
orange?
Freaking, like, took it out.
Do you think a lot of people are burning Osage orange, though?
No. No. Only they don't know what it is.
You know, I've got a ton of Osage orange on my property, and it makes incredible fence posts.
Get you through them long Arkansas winters.
I don't burn it for heat.
if you're going to burn it, you need to burn it sparingly with other wood because it will melt your fireplace.
Wow.
Wow.
Question two, the topic is hunting. What 1984 video game developed by Nintendo allows players to shoot ducks, clay pigeons, and their own hunting dog? Again, what 1984 video game developed by Nintendo allows players to shoot ducks, clay pigeons, and their own hunting dog? Some quick answers in the room again. Clay Newcomb, did you have a video game system growing up?
Man, there was one in my house, but I was not a video gamer. Okay. I was always the one that was mad at friends and brothers for playing all the time.
Tony, this feels like it's in your wheelhouse. You know it?
Yeah, I knew this one.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Tom saying Big Buck Hunter. Jeff saying, I've never played a video game in my life. I went outside.
Oh, good answer, Jeff.
Ben saying Duck Hunt. Tony saying Duck Hunt. Sam saying Duck Hunt. Lydia without an answer.
I was going to say Buck Hunt, but
Lydia says Buck Hunt. Clay Newcomb says Duck Hunt. And Clay Hayes says Duck Hunter. The correct answer is Duck Hunt. I'm not going to give it to you, Clay Hayes. Duck Hunter is not the same game.
I should have went with what Clay did and just kind of did like that.
I got a little scribble at the end of mine.
I had to erase the ER. I had it on there, but I got it.
Hey, that's pretty tough, Spencer. I mean, I would be voting to give it to him, but...
I don't think we're going to. I think we got to keep with Duck Hunt. Right. Duck Hunt has sold over 28 million copies worldwide. The game doesn't technically have an ending, but it does stop. If you beat level 99, you'll advance to level 0, where the ducks cannot be shot, and the dog laughs at you on a loop. It's described as a glitched-out nightmare that will eventually cause the system to restart.
Wow.
Phil the Engineer, you're our gaming expert here. Did you ever get into Duck Hunt at all?
That was a little before my time, but, you know, they've, sorry.
More shots at Tony.
Yeah, I gotta milk it while I can. But yeah, I've played Duck Hunt before.
Question three. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via Anna Golightly. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. There are 7 gar species in North America. I need you to name 3 of them. Again, there are 7 gar species in North America. Looking for you to name 3. I think this is going to be dependent on if you grew up or live in gar country, which I think a good portion of our room does not.
Where would you describe
by gar country? I'd mean anything that's not the Rocky Mountains, probably.
Okay.
This is.
Again, you got 7 to choose from. I'm just looking for 3. Only write down 3. If you write down 4, you're going to get it wrong.
I wouldn't say I grew up in gar country, but I shot a whole bunch of them on the river. Growing up.
That's gar country.
Yeah, that counts?
Yep.
All right.
Does anybody know that they have this right?
I feel real confident I do.
Okay. Old man Tony.
I don't think I'm even the oldest one here. Screw you guys.
Does everybody have 3 answers written down?
I'm nervous about my
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Tom saying long nose, alligator, silver. Jess saying gar 1, gar 2, gar 3. Ben saying alligator, blue, and needle nose. Tony saying short nose, long nose, alligator. Sam saying alligator. Lydia saying alligator and eastern. Clay Newcomb saying long nose, alligator, spotted gar. Clay Hay saying long nose, alligator, snaggletooth. What's that one say? Snuggletooth?
Exactly.
Snuggletooth. Okay. The 7 species are alligator, long nose, short nose, spotted, Florida, tropical, and Cuban. So we had a couple people get it right.
Florida, I'm so mad I didn't.
Oh. do we have Tony Peterson and Clay Newcomb got it?
I'm going to make an argument for the snaggletooth because unless we're going with Latin names, I can pretty much make up a common name. That snaggletooth, that's a very common name in Milton, Florida.
Really? You hear people call him Snaggletooth Gar?
Of course.
I've
called him.
Wait, hold on. You can't just make up nicknames for fish.
Sure the largest of the 7 gar species is the alligator gar. Although they're now only found in the deep south in Mexico, their historic range extends all the way into states like Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky. They've also been introduced to water bodies in California.
I was at the Wonders of Wildlife Museum in Springfield, Missouri, a couple weeks ago, and they have this like world-class aquarium system that you walk through and you're like in the water, it feels like. With, and they have an alligator gar that's, I mean, I bet it's 6 foot long and, you know, 10 inches diameter. I mean, just, they're incredible animals.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I would love for those things to live in like Indiana again. Alligator gar.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. Question four, the topic is foraging. What commonly foraged plant was declared the king of vegetables by King Louis XIV? Again, what commonly foraged plant was declared the king of vegetables by King Louis XIV? Nobody knew this one, it appears, so everyone's just going to be taking an educated guess. Gang, 14. King Louis XIV declared
vegetable.
This commonly foraged plant the king of vegetables.
As per usual, a straight guess.
Is anybody confident they got this one? No.
Mm-mm.
We good? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Thomas saying asparagus. Jess saying asparagus. Ben saying mushrooms. Tony saying asparagus. Sam Soholt saying wild onion. Lydia saying radish. Clay Newcomb saying mushrooms. Clay Hayes without an answer. The
Wait,
correct
is that
answer.
A vegetable? A mushroom?
yeah.
Probably.
We don't know
what King Louis knew. Probably the correct answer is asparagus.
Ooh, wow.
Good job, Jess.
Got it.
Wow.
Stinky peas.
The French brought the first asparagus to America sometime around the 1650s. It escaped cultivation here sometime in the early 1800s and became commercially grown in the 1860s.
Hmm.
King Louis loved that stuff. There's even a rumor that he had an asparagus fleet that he would send out like around Europe to just find him asparagus.
Wow.
That's how much he liked it. The king of vegetables. Clay, you got any asparagus growing at home?
Well, yeah, we do. Misty grows asparagus. Mm. She does. It's a quirky little plant, but it's good.
We just pick it off up off the side of the road where I live.
Really? It grows wild. Yeah.
Barrow ditches in Wyoming have asparagus.
Wow.
Yeah. Some hot tips here for foraging.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fastest.
That's what got me. I didn't realize that it could be foraged, wildly foraged. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. This is news to me.
Where do you think it came from?
I don't know, man.
Grocery
where
store.
Does everything come from?
Grocery store.
The wild.
What is the base of an asparagus called where it grows out of? Is that a crown?
A crown.
Is that why it's called a crown?
Mm. I doubt it, but I like it.
All right.
We're on to question five. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. The topic is gear. What do you call the measurement that's taken between a bowstring and the deepest part of the grip? Again, what do you call the measurement that's taken between a bowstring and the deepest part of the grip? A few folks knew this one right off the bat. Still have some people thinking. Again, it's the measurement that's taken between a bowstring and the deepest part of the grip. The Clays look like they know it. Both of you?
I looked at his.
Arkansas the answer right off him. Tony Peterson knew it. Ben looks like he knew it.
I'm second guessing big time now.
Does everybody have an answer?
I just drew something.
Drop bow.
Might work. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Thomas without an answer. Jess saying draw length. Ben saying brace height. Tony saying brace height. Sam saying brace height. Lydia without an answer.
Diagram.
And the Clays saying brace height. They got it. The answer is brace height.
So my argument here is that not also at full draw a measurement from bowstring to middle?
No.
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 That's what I second guessed on when I heard the question reread, but
in general.
See, this is where if you were Steve or Brody, you'd throw a fit.
No, hold on a minute.
You'd throw a fit. And
throw
Spencer's
something.
Good. He doesn't usually bend any.
In general, the shorter the brace height, the faster the bow and the less forgiving it is. But the longer the brace height, the slower the bow and the more forgiving it is. Most longbows and recurves have a brace height around 8 inches, while most flagship compounds are typically closer to 6.
Mm-hmm.
We are halfway through the game of trivia. Phil the Engineer, give us a scoreboard update.
Will do. Yet to make an appearance on the board. 0 points. We have Lydia. with 1 point, Jess. With 2 points apiece, we have Clay H., Sam, and Thomas. And then Ben has 3 points. Clay Newcomb has 4 points. And in first place, I'm not going to call him old man because he seems scary. We have Tony Peterson with 5.
Pitching a perfect game, Tony.
Wow. I know, the pressure's on.
Well done.
Now, how certain are you of that score? I thought me and Tony were tied. You got asparagus and I didn't, but yep. You missed one that I got.
Nope.
Do you take bribes?
Nope.
Do you take bribes?
Okay.
He doesn't miss.
Okay.
Not like Kenyon. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times, I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance, and man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Hey man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So, when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Man, I'm just coming back not too long ago from youth turkey season in Wisconsin. Now, last year at youth turkey season, it rained and snowed the whole time. This year at youth turkey season, it was in the 70s and even up to 80. So me and my kids are pouring it to it. And after a while, I realized they didn't drink anything all day and they haven't drank anything all day. Well, that's why it's important to get hydrated and have something you're going to like to help you, encourage you to get hydrated. Doesn't matter. Outdoor events, turkey hunting, playing sports, beach days, mountain adventures. Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. I'll say that again. Hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to LiquidIV.com and you use code MeatEater at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MeatEater at LiquidIV.com.
Question 6, the topic is turkeys. This next great question comes to us via Jacob Collins. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Michael Vick is this college's most famous alumni whose mascot is a male turkey. Michael Vick is this college's most famous alumni whose mascot is a male turkey.
Famous or infamous?
Either one. Both apply. Nobody knew this one right off the bat. Again, we're looking for where Michael Vick went to college. because their mascot is a male turkey.
I don't even know who Michael Vick is.
I don't either.
That's not going to help you very much then.
I do, and I still don't have it. So.
Can I get a hint?
That is their hint.
A male turkey.
A male turkey.
It must be an obscure college.
Yeah.
What region of the country is it in?
The Strutters.
Not giving any hints. Their mascot, though, is a male turkey. Clay, you know any colleges?
I mean, I'm trying to even just guess. Uh-huh. I don't even have an educated guess.
Does everybody have an answer who's going to come up with one? This might break the perfect game. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Thomas saying Scranton. Jess without an answer. Ben saying West Virginia. Tony saying Auburn. Sam saying, what's that say?
Cloaca University.
Cloaca University. Lydia without an answer. And the Clays without an answer. That was a rough one. The answer is Virginia Tech.
Ooh, I was close. I was in the wrong Virginia.
Virginia Tech's current mascot is the Hokie, but they used to be known as the Gobblers. In the early 1900s, the university actually had a live Tom Turkey as its mascot. It was trained to gobble on command, and it once got in a fight with another team's bulldog.
What's the command that makes it goggle? Like a car door slamming or something?
Probably like, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
A hen
on command. Yeah, trained, best trained turkey.
Barred out.
Yep.
So now they're the Hokies, but their mascot that they have on the sidelines is still a big male turkey. Question 7, the topic is public lands. America's largest Native American reservation consists of 16 million acres that are spread across Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. What is it? Again, the topic is public lands. America's largest Native American reservation consists of 16 million acres that are spread across Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. What is it? Is this going to get you on the board, Jess? Get a quick answer, it seemed like.
It's a quick guess.
Okay. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Tom saying Cherokee, Jess saying Navajo, Ben saying Navajo, Tony saying Apache, Sam without an answer, Lydia saying Navajo, Newcomb saying Navajo Nation, and Hayes saying Navajo. The correct answer is the Navajo Nation Reservation. If you just said Navajo, I'll give it to you.
Yes.
Damn. So the room did pretty well.
We're tied. Okay. Just looking at Phil.
We all know,
so
Clay.
So the last many years we've been at these, my son plays basketball. And the biggest pet peeve of my life is like peewee basketball scorekeepers. Like I watch them more than I watch the game because they get it wrong. I mean, it's like we just scored 3 points and you gave it to the other team. Like I am untrustworthy of scorekeepers. Like I watch NBA games and I'm like watching, they like score and I'm like watching the TV and like they didn't give them the point and then bang, it pops up like, well, okay, they did now.
What does this have to do with the?
I'm tied with you.
Oh, okay.
I am tied with you.
Now the Navajo Nation is 4 times larger than the next biggest reservation. Its total acreage is even bigger than 10 U.S. states. And unlike most reservations, it's actually grown significantly over the last 150 years. Question 8, we'll get another scoreboard update after this. The topic is cooking. The 5 basic tastes of food are sweet, sour, salty, bitter, and blank. Again, the 5 basic tastes of food are sweet, sour, salty, bitter, and blank. Looking for the 5th basic taste.
Can you read those again?
Why is this so confusing?
I thought you would know this one, Ben.
Here are 4 of the 5 basic tastes. Sweet, sour, salty, bitter. So I'm looking for the 5th one. Some quick answers. Some non-answers so far.
I'm second guessing mine now.
Me too. I was real confident for about 2 seconds.
Yep, that's how it goes.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Tom saying umami, Jess saying acid, Ben saying bland, Tony saying spicy, Sam saying spicy, Lydia saying savory, Newcomb saying savory, and Hayes saying, what's that say? Good?
Good.
Good. Good. The correct answer is savory or umami.
Catching up, guys.
So is either
savory,
one.
I'm going to contest my own thing here. What flavor is savory?
Well, here it is. Foods that are said to have a savory or umami flavor include seafood, red meat, aged cheese, seaweed, soy food, mushrooms, tomatoes, kimchi, and green tea. But in a 2017 TED Talk, Dr. Nicole Garnow argued that there could actually be a sixth basic flavor, which would be fat. So savory or umami is things like mushrooms, Clay.
Now, where would spicy fit in? I thought that was a good answer, Tony.
I did too.
I mean, it's kind of cool that I'm ahead of you now. But
now that you're winning your body's again.
That's so complimentary.
Steve Ranella, if he's winning, he's really courteous to people. Like, that was a good answer.
But when you think about it,
I actually think I know this one. It's that spicy isn't a flavor. It's a pain sensation.
A lot of things can be sweet and spicy or savory and spicy.
Yeah.
So I don't think spicy is more of a type of... whatever you
That's
call
really
that.
That's a really dumb answer, Tony.
Nobody asked you. Hey, Lydia, nobody asked you.
No, it's fine. I'm catching up, though. So
the five are sweet, sour, salty, bitter, and savory or umami. Phil, give us a scoreboard update. We have two questions left.
That's right. Everyone's on the board now, which is great. Congratulations. But there are only three players left in the game. We have Ben with 4 points, Tony Peterson with 5, and in first place, as he just reminded us, Clay Newcomb with 6.
Question 9. The topic is wildlife. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Colton Saugestad. For sending this great question, Colton is going to get a $100 First Light gift card. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, you can send your question to trivia at themeateater.com. Born between March and May, the babies from this mammal are often referred to as red dogs.
Just...
Born between March and May, the babies from this mammal are often referred to as red dogs. Jess knew this one right away, but the rest of the room, not as fast. Clay, how you feeling about this?
Just guessing.
Tony Peterson, how you feel about this?
Not good.
Okay.
Jess's certainty helped me.
Okay. She gave something away. Who else is in the game? We have Clay and Tony and who? Ben, how you feel about this one?
I feel very confident in my complete guess.
Okay. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Tom saying fox, Jeth saying bison, Ben saying beavers, Tony saying otters.
Mine's not.
Sam without an answer, Lydia saying some mammal born naked,
okay.
Newcomb saying prairie dog, and Hayes saying squirrel. The correct answer is bison.
Wow.
Jeth
got awesome.
It.
Good job, Jeth. Jess.
Red dogs get their name from their orangish-red color and size. The moniker no longer applies after a few months because that's when their hair starts to change to a dark brown and their characteristic shoulder hump and horns begin to grow.
Just want to say I didn't give so much away, did I?
Well, I just thought Wyoming prairie dog. That's what I thought.
That was my first
thought,
too.
If we were playing poker, you would have won.
We are on to our last question. Give us a scoreboard update, Phil. I don't think anything changed, did it?
Nothing changed, but Ben has lost his opportunity to catch up.
Let's do a two-point final question. Yeah.
Money ball.
It's between Tony and Clay, who have 5 and 6 points, respectively.
Tony.
The last question. The topic is fishing, and I don't think either one of you
have.
This
is the last question?
This is the final question.
So if he gets it wrong and I get it wrong, I still win.
That's right. That's how that works.
I'm fighting for a tie, no.
I don't think either one of you have an advantage here, though. Name. 2 of the top 5 states with the most shark attacks. Again, I am looking for 2 of the top 5 states for the most shark attacks. And this is looking at data taken over the last decade. 2 of the top 5 states. Newcomb, how you feeling?
You know, fair.
Tony?
I'll echo that sentiment. I don't feel that great about this.
I mean, I like these when it's like give some of the top 5. You can use some reasoning skills sometimes.
Does everybody have an answer? Looking for 2 states. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Tom saying Florida and North Carolina. Jess saying California and Florida. Ben saying South Carolina and Florida. Tony saying Florida and South Carolina. Sam saying Hawaii and Florida. Lydia saying Hawaii and Florida, Newcomb saying California and Florida, and Hay saying California and Florida. The top five are Florida, Hawaii, South Carolina, North Carolina, and California.
Everyone got it right.
I think everybody got it.
Wow.
Well done.
Sam and I were the best on that one, though, because we got the first two answers
right. That's right. Florida overwhelmingly leads the nation in shark attacks with 236 in the last decade. The next closest is Hawaii with 73, South Carolina with 43, North Carolina with 32, and California with 29. Sharks kill one person in America each year, which is half as many people who die because a vending machine falls on them.
I know which one's more likely to happen to me.
Clay Newcomb is our winner. How many did you get? Seven? Seven answers? So. Well done, Clay.
Good job, Clay.
Good performance by everybody.
I'm still contesting the mushroom vegetable connection.
It wasn't the best answer.
Now, what happens next is Clay, as the winner, gets to choose where the $500 donation goes. So what's it going to be?
I'm going Howl for Wildlife.
What do you like so much about that?
Man, I think those guys have given it's not the full solution, but they've put a good solution to influencing legislation, anti-hunting legislation all over the country. They do a good job of rallying people to get emails into important people's inboxes, and we've seen that work. And it is one of the most, I think it's such a complex answer for how to combat the anti-hunting legislation in this country, but Howl for Wildlife's taking a good swing at it. I like them.
Jess, as somebody who traffics in that space, you agree you like Howl?
Yes. I say yes and, because this is what Howl does, where I actually do think that you have to do more than just the Howl. And as a lobbyist, I very rarely ever see petitions ever actually work if they're not accompanied by real life stories from people that are on the ground. So a lot of legislators will get these big petitions in their inbox, or they'll get 700 emails saying all the same thing. And that all goes into one folder, and then it goes into the trash can. But the email that they get that has a subject line that says, please vote no because, and you put the subject line, you say vote no on House Bill 43 or whatever it is. And then in your piece, you give a 2 or 3 sentence, don't write a whole book, but a 2 or 3 sentences, I'm a local, I'm your constituent, I care very deeply. That shit changes votes.
So what do you do if you're not a part of the state and you can't write that email?
I mean, that's where Howl is good. If you're not a part of the state, it's good that they see that there's a lot of eyes on them from outside. I was fighting a bill this last year that had 750 emails in each of their inboxes. It didn't change anything until 12 people physically showed up and talked. And we still lost it, but they weren't listening until people showed up in person.
Mm-hmm.
Hunters need to get your asses to the Capitol and be there in person.
So Howl does a good job, but it's not the whole job.
Yeah, it does a great job getting the information out there. Yeah, fantastic job. That.
Yeah.
Now that's our end of the game of trivia, but I'm so stoked on the First Light store here. I don't think I did a good enough job last episode of talking about how cool it is. So as our guest, throw some superlatives around about what you like about this place, how neat it is, why you'd swing in if you were within an hour here. I'd come up and see this place.
I like the feel of it. Just as soon as you walk in, there's a wall tent set up. I mean, it's just a cool building. Nice vibes.
Yeah, I feel like the decorations definitely resonate with you a lot more, versus regular shops year-round. You're looking at things that you do and that you wear, and it's pretty sweet, in my opinion. Great colors, great setup. It's organized. It's awesome.
I think just the advantage of having every piece here to be able to touch and feel and try on is a big win. This is a very cool store.
Especially for the women out there that are looking to see how things fit. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, is it literally every piece? Is everything that is sold by First Light's in here?
First Light, FHF, and Phelps.
That's awesome. I didn't think you'd be able to fit it all. You guys done it.
Yeah, it's one thing to look at it all on a website, but then when you can actually walk around and feel the fabrics and stuff, I have a feeling a lot of people are going to get a lot of value out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Stoked that it'll be open by the time you hear this episode. And that's it for Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend.
Yeah, Steve, they're very comfortable, they're very fashionable, and I enjoy wearing mine around the office and anywhere I go.
Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.